Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Case in Point. I'm Justin Case, a very special guest. He's always special to me because he's my brother. We're going to be talking about some McFarlane, Batman future releases on that, and also other DC-related releases. Like, we did some of the Justice League movie things of that nature. We're also going to be talking about Master of the Universe Classics and the future releases for that. They got Flying Fist, He-Man, and Sunman, some people from that universe that Mattel has brought in. So, and we're going to be covering some other hodgepodge of things as they come up. You know how it is. We always end up spawning conversation off a main point anyway. So, Jason, thanks for being on the show. I'm going to skip the house cleaning and the pleasantries for this one because I want to get right into the meat of this discussion. So, what have you been on the prowl for, man?
Oh man, I've been. McFarlane is releasing these figures super furiously and fast, and I don't know if it's because of the backup of all the merchandise that was sitting out at sea, and now like that the ports are starting to get unclogged, that all the stuff is just hitting stores. But it seems like we went for a period of time where there wasn't really much out there to like. Oh my gosh, there's something all the time. I mean, the aisles and the stores look, the toy aisles, they were as full as they've looked in, gosh, a year at least, I would say. But they keep, I mean, he keeps dropping figures all the time. He just announced a bunch more today. So it's kind of hard to keep up, but it's cool too, because there's always something to look for. So that's kind of nice. But I mean, like the Masters stuff, they release that, I guess, at a pretty good staggered pace. So you've got some time to catch up. But man, he is just dropping stuff left and right, like all the time. But it's cool because there's always something neat to chase.
Yeah, if you have the room, there's a lot of people that are, yeah.
Oh, well, that's part of it. It does take up a lot of room. It takes up a ton of space to have all these figs just kicking around. So I know you clean stuff out every now and then, and I don't clean anything out. So I just keep piling.
Well,
up.
I mean, the thing is I like to, if the price is right, I like to actually jettison some of the things, because over time I'm like, I'm not interested in this anymore. So I will start throwing it up on eBay, or a lot of times I can deal local, there's no auction fees or anything.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys are like these comic guys and stuff and toy guys are smart because they will buy stuff they aren't really interested in, but know that they can resell it and take that money and use it to buy the things they actually want. Like a lot of these comic guys will buy raw books, press them, clean them, get them graded, and take the money that they make off that and use it to buy books they actually want. And a lot of the toy guys, know how they have the chase figures? A lot of the toy guys will buy all the chase figures up, not because they want to scalp them so much as they know that they have a value. They'll take, say you find a General Zod chase figure, right? But you need a Red Hood chase figure. And a lot of these Facebook groups, they'll say, hey, I got a Zod for chase for trade if anybody's got a Red Hood or a Batgirl or whatever. And they'll use it as kind of like trade bait. And then, somebody else wants that Zod and they want this and the value's the same and it saves them hunting and stuff. The only thing you got to be careful with is you always see in those groups the people that don't trade with this guy, don't trade with this guy, because they
don't get anything in return. And
They're shysters. You'll see people, they'll send money, like friends and family, like on PayPal of these guys, and they'll go, hey, have you sent my stuff out yet? Oh yeah, I've just been real really busy at work. I'm gonna send it out tomorrow. And then like a few more days go by. Hey, you got a tracking number for me yet? Oh yeah, bro. I'm gonna send it out. I just got swamped at work, or I had to go to the hospital or something. And then you get to the point where they just ghost them and they don't say anything more. And people post these screenshots of like their messages and stuff like that to these people. And like some of the, I tell you what, I'm in like comic groups, right? And I'm in like toy groups on there. These toy guys, some of them are really like mean and nasty and like sarcastic and just really degrading to people. And it's crazy. I can't believe like somebody will ask a question and not everybody knows everything, right? Some people are new to these hobbies and especially the toys. They'll say, hey, is this a rare thing? And somebody will make just some smart comment instead of just being nice and going like, oh yeah, that's new or whatever. Like, or somebody will buy a certain figure and say, somebody will comment, oh, well, that's, those things are horrible. Those are ugly. Why would you even want that? Or, you know, like really stupid stuff. It's crazy how people are. Like, they just don't let people enjoy what they want to enjoy. You know what
I mean?
Well,
they need their opinion known because they're egotistical, you know, and it's.
Yeah, it's and I was telling Jody that the other day. I go, man, I said, the comic guys aren't too bad. You know what I mean? Like, the comic guys aren't too bad. You don't really see a lot of that. Gosh, these action figures.
Well, the thing with comic books
cow.
Are kind of like they are like, what they are, right? So, if, let's say you want, you say, hey, is this Green Lantern series any good from 1983 or something? It'd be like, yeah, it was pretty good. But the problem with action figures is, man, there's so many different versions out there of, it's an artistic sculpt. I think it's got something to do with the holding it in your hand with all the variants out there, like this has articulation, this doesn't have as much, blah blah blah. I never got into that stuff.
Well,
you know,
I wonder too if it's the demographic too. I mean, let's face it, most of the people that read comic books are 35 to 60, I would have to say, right? Comics are kind of a middle age older guy game, right? The toy thing seems to be more of a younger guy thing, and maybe that's part of it too. I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot more young people buying the toys but they don't really buy comics. You know what I mean? It's weird.
You know, I don't want to say anything at risk of, you know, being derogatory towards any of those demographics, but I mean,
sure.
You know, I'm sure the listeners out there, they can cook up on their own minds and have their own reasons why, but I'm inclined to agree with you because from what I've seen, I'm not a forum guy and I'm not really a social media guy as far as like reading people's back and forth because I like what I like for my own reasons. And I'm sure you'll agree when I say that even you'll see that there's people in their own mini collectives and they're like, well, I like this wave because of this. And then there's like these fans with just a certain line of toys that's, they're like, this is the best ever. And then they have their own discussions. Like, for example, I have the SH Figuarts, the Dragon Ball stuff, and they're very expensive. Okay. Mm-hmm. So depending on the size of the figure, the amount of accessories it comes with, it's going to be say between $35 for standard release. Right. And then you have a more, I guess, maybe an Ultimates type figure, which you'll have, it'll have like power effects. It'll have a, what do you call it? Like a flight stand or a stand. Cause it's a heavy figure with a lot of hair that charges more. I've had three figures break or the glue has failed. And it is. And,
that's the
and
worst.
So,
when you pay all this money for something,
a $65
figure
and a hand breaks off, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's because a lot of times with these little pigs, because they have swappable hands and that things of that nature, they snap right off. I'm like, I don't know if I want to buy these anymore because I don't want to buy something, have it just sit in a package. I bought it to display and I like to take pictures and post them online. And I know you and I laugh about action figure photography, you know, just because it's funny. But I do it. Check out my Instagram page.
It's a pretty big thing now. I mean, there are a lot of guys that do it. I watched something on Disney Plus a while ago over the summer. I think it was in between when they had different shows on, and there was one. It was a Marvel thing, and it one of the one of the episodes was about people that do the action figure photography. Yeah. It was pretty cool. Like how they do some of the effects.
And that's
and
where
stuff.
You get into the really nice hardcore things. I'm very amateur. I have word bubbles and stuff I might use once in a while, but I just like putting the pictures up there and having a certain angle where it makes them like just the face. Or you've seen some of my stuff, but we have the Case in Point Instagram page up there, so there's a lot of toy pics. Check it out. And so the thing is that I like a lot of the. There's a company. I'm trying to remember the name of them. I've got some of their Iron Man releases, but they're licensed by Disney, and they've been coming out with these Iron Man figures. And right now I've got the Mark 1, the Mark 2, the Mark 3, and then the Mark 5, which is one of my favorites. And they're really nice. And so I'll get some pictures up of that. But, I mean, it's like I like seeing people's – it reminds me of the old Toy Fair magazine or Wizard when they'd have the old X-Men figures and the word bubbles. Yeah. I love that stuff.
Yeah, well, you can even see, like, NECA, and not just NECA, but other companies, third-party places that aren't necessarily licensed. There are even guys that just do them on the side on, like, Instagram and all that. They'll make, like, street scenes, right? Like it'll be an alleyway scene, like diorama, where you can put figures in. Or, like, the Ninja Turtle stuff is pretty big. They'll have like a sewer or a street or whatever, and people can display them, and that kind of stuff is neat.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that used to be pretty pretty, I guess it still is pretty nerdy to do, but I think it's more acceptable,
right?
Now.
I mean, for me, I do what I want to do anyway, so I always.
Oh, for sure. Like, I really don't care anymore.
I never
about
did.
Any
That's
of
why
that.
I wore sweatpants to high school. So. With the shorts stitched in. I never cared. I still don't. But it was like.
Oh, my God. You know, hey, listen, you were just ahead of the curve because my kids wear cuffed sweatpants all the time. And
unfortunately, I wasn't a trendsetter
cool
in 1993.
That and I was my girls wear Seinfeld jeans, I call them.
Oh,
you
yes,
know what I mean
yes.
by Seinfeld jeans, right? Yeah, those high waisted baggy things. I go, oh, you got some Seinfeld jeans on.
They
huh?
just give you that look like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. They go, what? I go, those are the type of the jeans they used to wear on Seinfeld.
Oh yeah.
Those high waisted.
It always looks like he's maybe leaning back just a little bit, you know.
Oh, I think they're called mom jeans, right? And I remember there was this skit on Saturday Night Live, and it was all about mom jeans. This is probably in the mid 2000s. And what's her name? The girl who played Leslie Knope on
the blonde haired lady. Yeah, yeah.
There. I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but that was a whole commercial. And the tagline about the jeans was, what was it? Remember, you're not a person.
Oh, jeez. That's terrible.
There were these terrible jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's. Yeah.
But anyways, there's enough about mom jeans. And
I said it was going to happen, everybody. I warned you guys. This.
Yeah. I don't know how we went from. You know, action figure dioramas to what type of sweatpants and jeans my kids are wearing.
Yeah,
but,
well, we'll just blame Stefano Man. It's fine.
Yes. Oh, God.
It's,
I
for
think
that jacket's
that
probably kicking
too.
Around somewhere if you want to get it. It's got ink stains on the white sleeves that was on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the pretty brown, too. They're the nice French vanilla now at this point. It was a nice ivory white when I first got it, but not anymore. He's like, just cut the sleeves off and make a vest out of
God.
It. join his street gang.
Anyway. Yeah, so I've been buying these McFarlanes, right? And I'm kind of a completist with them. I'm trying to get them all. Like, why not, right? And I guess part of the reason I don't participate in the group. In the groups,
right?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just kind of I've joined the group, and I use them more for information than anything.
You're a watcher. You don't get involved. You observe.
I don't need to interact. But what I do like to see is people posting the new figures so that you can see when they're showing up in stores. And they always start, like, you'll see the new figures. Hey, these just popped up in Target in California. And you're like, okay, here they come. And it's so funny because they just move across the country. Like, oh, now they're in the Midwest. Well, I know I got about 2 weeks and they're going to be in our store. And I'm pretty diligent with the hunting. I go most nights after the gym because why not? That's when they're bringing all their freight out, and I've had really good luck buying things. So I'm there anyways. It's on my way home. It takes me 5 minutes to walk in the store, do a lap, and if there's something there, great. If there's not, then yeah. I leave. What's the big deal, right? Usually my wife is like, oh, you got to get this at the store. All right, well, I'm going there anyway.
Yeah. So.
And I've always had pretty good luck. I haven't, other than chase figures, which are a little bit tougher to find, and I think I've only bought maybe two or three off eBay, and even then, I'm not paying like crazy money for them. I'm paying maybe $10, $15 over retail, which is kind of the going rate. You know what I mean? I'm not paying crazy money for these.
Yeah. As far as the Masterverse figures are concerned, I made an all-time classic blunder, and I bought a couple from Entertainment Earth. Guess what it cost me after tax and shipping?
$94. God, I don't even want to know.
There are two for Savage He-Mans that just came out.
I got them.
Yeah,
in
I know.
Store
and now I'm like, this. I totally got like screwed, you know. And it.
Yeah, and when I say I don't buy anything like online, I shouldn't say online. I should say like third party, like eBay type stuff. I've only done that a few times, buying them on eBay. I've gotten all my figures at retail from either, you know, in person Target or Walmart, or, you know, Best Buy has them, the McFarlane website, Amazon, any of those. I consider that all just general retail, and they're all regular price. And a lot of times I will buy them when I can. I like to buy them at Target because you get points towards future purchases, and I'm always trying to get a deal. So I'm always looking out for the best price, because if you can get 20% off a figure, well, if you buy three of them and you grab a fourth, that's like getting one for free. You know what I mean?
You know, I don't really have a lot of time to. You obviously are able to hit some stores because you're out and about so much, but I am not. So, and especially where I live, it's pretty isolated. I mean, we've got three Walmarts, but let me tell you something. Those Walmarts we have here are so bloated with December stock still, and I had a discussion with this with my wife this morning. I said, hey, they got to get rid of this stuff and clearance it off. I go, 12 years ago, you know, the Walmart closest to my house would have jettisoned this stuff so long, but because of the logistics debacles that you mentioned earlier in this episode, they're like, well, we got to hang on to it. And there's probably a certain amount of time before they can notify the retailer, hey, or the manufacturer, hey, this is not selling. And so right now, in that same Walmart I just mentioned, they did that whole reconfigure where, you know, they redid the display or whatever, they reshuffled it or whatever they called it, right? You know the term. You're a retail guy, so there's a term for it anyway, for merchandising. But it's like they have a Jitsu there, and they've got a bunch of Lords of Power Beastmen there, tons of them, and then there's a mini comic Stratos, so you know, the one with the flesh colored Stratos.
Naked Stratos.
And all they have now is they're stuck with all of those Rock and John Cena movie figures, And the John Nada ones, the Roddy Piper John Nada figures, were they sold like hotcakes. Well, it didn't help when I bought four of them. But
I saw those in store one time. Yeah. Remember I told you about them? And I didn't buy it because it looked like somebody stomped over all over all the
boxes.
Well,
remember
when
I was talking
crushed.
To you on the phone one day and I bought those? I got one for you. Remember it fell on the floor? I go, oh, and it crunched under my foot. So I kept that one. And then, you know, it's like, that's what I get for buying like three of them. So,
yeah, and I mean the Masters stuff. I think as far as the Origins goes, the only thing I had trouble finding was that Wave 2 with Scareglow. That was tough to find. It popped up on Big Bad Toy Store. I bought it. It cost me an extra $4 for shipping. But it was like here in 3 days, 2 or 3 days. Everything else I've been able to find in store. As far as Origins and
$37 for Savage He-Man. So
no, I did not. No, I actually paid cheaper than that because I bought Triclops and Savage He-Man on the same day, and they were having a He-Man sale. I think it was 15% or 20% off. So I paid 20% below retail.
Yeah, see, I don't even look at that stuff. I'm like, well, easy come, easy go, I guess. But I mean, the thing is, you know, my wife's pretty good about finding that, but she's good at finding this stuff, but she doesn't really focus on like the sales a whole lot. And I probably should, but I feel like this line's wrapping up anyway. I think they're gonna go for probably this year, the rest of this year, and I don't see. I mean, because think about the wrestling stuff. The WWE Masters line is done. They've just moved on into the straight wrestling in the 5.5-inch scale. Those are
no.
All I have a single honky tonk, but like, it's from the internet. And I don't think you, Jason. I don't think you will.
Nobody
I do not think you will.
Found those in store.
I really don't. And I think that if they do make it to a brick-and-mortar store, someone in the back is going to say, hey, my cousin wants these, or I want these, or my brother, whatever. I'm just going to keep those to myself, you know, and buy them right, and buy them out from under the regular customers.
Well, so going back to the groups and knowing what's up, right, this kind of ties into it. There's obviously the new Batman movie's coming out, right? So these floor displays, these little half pallets, were showing up in Walmart starting early last week, and people are posting them in the groups, and it was like, you know, let's see, two waves of Build-A-Figures, two waves of the Batman, and another wave of I think DC Future State / Rebirth stuff, so like four or five waves of McFarlane's all at once. And then they had the statues for the Batman movie coming out, too, on the other side of the display. So I told Jody, I go, hey, keep an eye out if you see one of these pallets, right? And he was in one of her Walmarts, and he goes, hey, they've got the General Zod and stuff there, but they don't have a pallet of them. I go, oh, well, I'm going to swing over and take a look. So I went over, and it was the pallet of figs, but they put them all on an end cap. But the thing is, there was none of the statues there, okay? So I go, that's weird. And I even asked, I go, was there any statues with this? And the guy had, you know, no idea what I was talking about. He's like, ah, look at this idiot, right? Like, what's he buying toys for anyways? So I bought, you know, some that I wanted, and I left. And then I was looking, I go, I wonder if that those statues would be in stock. So I looked it up online, and it said available for pickup. And I was working that night, so Jody actually went back over for me, and he got the red and black Jim Lee exclusive statue because it said it was in stock. He said it was way up on top. I go, well, there should be a like all gold Batman statue too. And I mean, this pallet, like nobody had bought any of these figures when I went over there. Like there was nothing there, right? No takeaway at all. There was a full end cap. All the pieces were there. And Jody told me that there was the Riddlers and the two Batmans there, but the gold one wasn't there. And all I can figure is that an employee got to it and grabbed it out like, oh, this is gold. I bet you this is special. And I think they're about a one per store. So they were going for, you know, about $150 online. You know, people put them up on eBay as soon as they, as soon as they get them, they go up on eBay. You know, which it's just the way it is. But, so Jody had snagged me the red and black one. So that was cool. And that night I had to stop and get Tide Pods or something. And, my oldest girl was with me and we're walking through and this is, here's the, like, they ended up having the pallet, at Walmart in Watertown. And I go, oh my gosh. Right. So it was still wrapped in everything. And I asked one of the ladies, like, oh, you know, can I have someone open that? Because there's one I want. Because I knew that gold statue was in there. And I was like, I could just come back in the morning before work. But again, I was worried that somebody would put the display out that night that was working there and go, oh, I know what this is. I know this is. This looks like this is probably worth money. I'm going to buy this and put it online. So I actually had them you know, open it, and they were cool about it, and I got that statue. And you know, people probably thought, oh, you know, he's a, you know, flipper or a scalper or something. I just want them. I don't want them because they're worth anything. Sure. I just want them. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like I say with the comic books. I don't really care that they're worth any money, right? I just want them. Because I want them. I wish they were all a dollar so I could just buy all of them, right? So, but yeah, I think a lot of that does happen where maybe people get the stock first and then they pop that thing right up online. And I guess that's their right. Hey, they're working at the store and they get first crack at it. So
I know that there's some places, and I've never worked like retail shopping. But it's my understanding that there's some companies that shy upon that, like, you know what I mean? I wouldn't know who that is exactly, but I've heard that some stores do not let employees do that.
I think what the deal is like if you're working, right, and it goes, it's okay. Yeah, you can buy that, but it's got to go out to the shelf, and you got to wait till after your shift.
Yeah, you can't be on the clock and do it. Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? We don't run into that like all that much, but I think because I have read comments where people have said that they know people that will go, hey, these just came in, and call like their friends and stuff, which I guess, hey, if you got a friend that works at the store and stuff and he goes, hey, we just got a shipment of these things in, we're going to be putting them out if you want to come.
That reminds me, like, remember how I think mom snagged us a PlayStation or a PS2. I think the same in the same fashion, like she knew, like, there's some of the kids that we went to school with that worked there. And of course she knew everybody and they knew mom, you know? And so they actually went and got them for her and said, hey, we got one. I'll go get it for you and get it. And it wasn't out on the floor.
Yeah, we got that. We got that for Easter one year. I think you're
right. That
would have
been the PS1, right?
PS2. No, okay. It was the PS2 because, we wanted one for Christmas, but they were so scarce, right? And it ended up being Easter before we were able to find one, and I think she got us.
Right,
because it might one for Easter.
Yeah, it might have been.
I think that's what it was, or like it was around Easter, and
right,
that was
the
excuse.
Yeah,
because right?
the PS1.
You know what I mean?
I remember there was one. She goes, the guy said, like, it was one of the kids we went to school with. He said, you are really lucky to get one of these because it's the last one. They literally just came in, and she got the one of the last two or something, and the kid got one for himself. And, you know, because they were pretty expensive. I mean, this kid, you know, you're working at like Kmart. You're not going to be on the highest payroll, you know, if you're just starting out, you know. So there was one left and she got it. And it was in summertime because I remember it was like me, you, Donnie would come over and hang out all that summer. And that's when we had that PlayStation. And we'd play like
I think we did get the PlayStation 1
really?
For Christmas.
Okay.
I think so. I think so. I remember the PlayStation 2 being a an eat like an Easter, yeah, that sounds like a springtime about right. Yeah. thing.
Because I think when we were seniors in high school, or no, we were juniors, I was playing at Final Fantasy VII like all the time. I remember the night of the prom, I was playing that before we had to go. I didn't want to shut it off. I got to get to a save spot, you know, and then you were playing Warcraft on there. You know,
that was PlayStation 1, wasn't
yep,
it?
Yep, so it was
that Warcraft yep. game. Because that was during the ice storm.
Yeah, because...
Not during it, but around right after.
Yeah, because I was playing Final Fantasy on there before the ice storm, because it was in like December of 97, I think, and we got the PlayStation, the PS1 in 96 or late 96 or something. I don't know. That was a long time ago, but you know, it's in regards to like the figures and stuff being at retail stores. I have not seen any statues at all. All they have here at the one I went to. The one closest to my house is those really cheap rinky-dink Batmobiles with the figures that don't do anything. That's all I've seen. I have not seen any McFarlane anything for that. Because they can't sell the Shazams that they have. The King Shazam, and they got a million of them.
So that's part of the problem too, is they're hard, like. I don't know how this, like, how the, like, the SKU assortment works, right? If they just ship them anything that's new, or if they go, holy cow, this store's got this many McFarlanes on hand, we're not shipping them anymore. Because one of our Walmarts had so many King Shazams, and so many, what was the other one? The Demon, yeah, Etrigan, yeah. Right? So, and it was like there was a lot. They still have them, but this display that came in, this little half pallet, I don't know how they. You would think mm-hmm. every store would get it, right? Because I mean, the Batman's going to be I think it's going to be a pretty big hit. I mean, it from everything that people are saying, it looks like it's probably going to be a pretty big.
Well, one of those is because of who's going to be Batman, because all the Twilight people are going to go watch it. And, you know, and I think that's got a lot to do with it because, you know, Pattinson's in it. And so, like, oh, I got to go, you know, the heartthrob mm-hmm. factor's there. And.
Yeah. Well, I think Matt Reeves has a pretty good track record as a director.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying.
You know, the Kravitz girl, she's pretty good. And, I mean, Colin Farrell looks. Unrecognizable as the Penguin, so I think it looks very like very Batman, like very like kind of detective story.
Batman, yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. The thing is I no matter what the property is, I'm not one of those people that's gonna like it just because of what the title of it is. If something sucks, I'm gonna say so.
Yeah.
And I know individuals yep. that love a property, no matter if it's trash or not, they love it. And I'm like, you're blinded. You know, if it sucks, it sucks. And, you know, it's just like that, you know, like some of the Star Trek stuff is absolute garbage now.
Oh, sure, sure. And I mean, it Star Wars, yeah, Star yeah. Wars it's... stuff is the same too. I remember, I mean, let's not get into this whole Last Jedi thing, right? Whatever. But, I remember, like, just about every Star Wars movie I've gone to, right? I'll sit there and go, oh, man, that was so cool and stuff. And I think the only one I didn't really – I was unsure of was The Last Jedi. Like, you got to the end of it, and you're like – I thought in my head, like, I don't know if I like that. I'm the
same
not.
Way, yeah.
But – and when – and I'll be honest with you, when this Batman – when this Batman movie came or was announced, I was super skeptical. I was like, oh, right. Robert Pattinson, really? Like, okay. And then I wasn't so sure, you know, you saw like from the set of the Batman and you saw things that you're like, oh geez, I don't know. And then, I saw the first trailer and I'm like, okay, all right. That looks like that might be good. And I think it was the second trailer. I go, oh, boy,
I haven't seen the second one yet, so I'll have to watch it. Maybe it'll change my mind.
Yeah, and then I think there's actually a third trailer that came out not too long ago. I go, huh, I think I'm pretty well sold on this. So, and then I was hearing more like them talking about that it was based on like they took inspiration from Batman Year One and The Long Halloween and Batman Ego and all these really, really good Batman stories. So I go, well, if that's what they're, if they're talking like about those as inspiration for the movie, it might not be so bad.
Yeah, if they could put it all together in the right way, I guess. But, you know, I just real quickly, I know this isn't a movie episode, but I wish that, like, we could see a sequel to the freaking Justice League movie because, like, after the Zack Snyder one came out, I'm like, can we actually please see, like, you know, more of the villains? You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, we got, we've got Steppenwolf out of the way. We see that portal, and it's got Darkseid and Granny Goodness and Desaad. And they made Desaad awesome in that film. He's not some guy that looks like Gargamel with a purple cloak on. This guy with tubes coming out, he was pretty darn creepy. And I'm like, I hope so. I hope DC does something with that. But, yeah, I mean, they probably won't. But I'm one guy against a million people that probably don't ever want to see it. So... But I'd see that a million times over Suicide Squad. I just don't, not a big fan. So, I'm more of a superhero guy. And that was my thing with this Batman film was like, I didn't want it to be another psychotic thing like The Dark Knight Rises. That's not something I'm into. I kind of like the intense action and the heroic feel of say like, you know, Superman or the Justice League, where there's some fun to it, not something that's so dark. And, you know, that's my personal preference. You know, I'm just saying as a movie viewer, I hope that we get some more of the kind of heroic feeling stuff. And, you know, like we had with Marvel, they had like Endgame and all that. And, you know, and that was a great film. But I just, hopefully DC can actually, I just don't know, Jason. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull off any more Justice League stuff. I just don't know, but at least the toys are good.
Well, DC's gotta not be. they gotta lean into what works for them. You know, I know you didn't like the Suicide Squad or the second one, and you haven't seen the Peacemaker show, but I mean, the Peacemaker show is a huge hit for them. So maybe you have to lean into that and not be, be. You know, Marvel, try to do what Marvel's doing. Like, I think with the Justice League, like, obviously the MCU stuff, that was pretty organic, right? How all that stuff started coming together. And then it was, oh, man, we've got to play catch up. Well, here's Man of Steel. Well, here's Justice League. Well, here's Batman v Superman, right? Like, we're going to, like, trying to get everything together. And, like, it felt rushed and it didn't feel organic, right? Look, I am totally fine with DC being the multiverse, right? Like, this is Batman, and this is his corner of the world, and this is where he is, and this is this writer or director or whoever's interpretation, just like a comic could be.
Right.
Just tell a good story, right? So I'm pretty hopeful. I'm pretty excited to see this movie. That'll be Thursday. I'll be going to see it. I wanted to go as early as I can so that nothing was wrecked for me. I told you before, it's almost a 3-hour movie, so you'd have to think it's got a lot of depth to it, too.
But that's the thing is, like, because of who he is, he's a more gritty character. They do the detective side of things. There's a really thick plot there because you have to be able to keep people guessing who did what and who is this guy, and then there's the big mystery revealed and everything. Unfortunately, with Superman is like a slippery bar of soap in the shower. You know, you're trying to keep your hands on it, but it just slips out of your grip and you can't seem to really get his own series of films done. And Batman's never had that problem. And same thing with the comic books, man. I've never read a poorly written Batman comic myself, and I'm not the Batman Titan that you are. But, man, I'm telling you what, that Bendis Superman stuff before, It was in February 20. I'm like, this is, I'm done. Yeah. I'm not buying any more of this crap. This is stupid. Everyone knows who he is. And we, there's no big,
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, you hear, oh, well, Bendis is coming on Superman. And you're like, well, geez, he's the, you know, the top writer for Marvel, DC got him. Like, yeah. It's pretty big, cool, right? Like, all right, cool, let's go. And his whole story, none of terrible. It, I did not enjoy any of it. Now, the team that was on the Superman book before, let's see, that was Patrick Gleason and Pete Tomasi. That Superman title, that Rebirth launch with Superman and Lois and Jonathan Kent as a little boy.
But that's because they had something they could work with and make it interesting. And Bendis went back to the classic storyline, but I'm like, there's not enough there to make it interesting. That's the problem.
Well, and then Jurgens was on Action Comics, and as far as I'm concerned, Dan Jurgens is the Superman writer of like this generation. He just, I mean, the death, the return, like Dan Jurgens. I mean, like he his run was.
But that's because he was in space. But that's because he was off in other planets, interacting with alien races and villains and all that. He wasn't in freaking Metropolis going to the Daily Planet, doing his costume off, costume on. You know.
It did seem like it was kind of boring, right? The Bendis thing. And the other part of it is like they gave Bendis Superman and Action Comics. So you only have one voice on Superman. Like
there's no contrast. Yeah.
And it was one story. And like Batman and Detective, and of course they've got a gazillion other Batman books. You had different voices on it. And I don't know, like, I didn't like that Bendis took John Kent there and made him from being a little boy to being, I don't know if he's a teenager or he's 17, 18 years old. He's older.
You're right.
Though.
He was a teen. Man. Yeah. Like a, maybe a middle-aged teen. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and the thing was, I really enjoyed, Super Sons. Like the Super Sons and like Damian Wayne and John,
because they're squabbling
both around the same age,
they,
and you know,
it was awesome.
Yeah, it was like,
yeah,
you know, it was pretty cool. And now that dynamic's gone because obviously Damian is still the age he was, you know, preteen or 13, 14, and now John Kent's like almost a man doing man things, and it wrecked that, and you can't go and de-age Jonathan Kent again. You've already let that cat out of the bag. You've let the hey, he's Clark Kent out of the bag too. Like, what are you like? Oh, like it's almost like he's told the story. He goes, okay, well, it's up to somebody else to fix it. It's like, oh man, I hate
it. Is he gone?
Did he leave? And I think DC just
is he gone
though?
Because I lost touch because just in February.
No, he's writing Justice League right now.
Who's doing Superman?
Let's see. Tom Taylor is doing Superman, and Philip Kennedy Johnson is doing Action Comics. And so Superman is actually John Kent. Okay, Tom Taylor writes that, and he's writing a very, very good Nightwing run right now. Like, really, really good. Like, one of the best books out there run. And then Philip Kennedy Johnson is doing Action Comics, and it's actually Clark, but he's on like War World with Mongol and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
see, that goes
really
back
good.
To what I was saying, and, Jason, is that you put Superman in space, and he's in different situations. Yeah.
Like, and like there's like a red, like a reddish sun, so he's not as powerful as he was, and it's really awesome. Good. And actually, you know who's on that? That Philip Kennedy Johnson wrote that sword and sorcery type comic called The Last God, and Riccardo Federici did the art for all those, and he does like a really awesome style of art, and he's been either doing the interiors or the covers for this Action Comics run. So
well,
I've
maybe
really
I'll pick
been
up
enjoying
the trade
that
or something
too.
Then because
I think you would like The Last God. I really do. It's very much up your alley with the type of books and stuff
you used to read,
Lord of the Rings. And it's a self-contained story. I started reading it digitally, and I liked the first two or three issues so much, I went and bought the lot of individual issues on eBay because it was so I enjoyed it so much. And the art, I really like Federici's art style. He does. I've sent you some of the stuff he's done before. Really, really enjoy it. Like, really, that's really cool. Good stuff.
You know, our next episode, we'll have to dig in a little bit more into this because it's really good discussion. I wanted to pivot back to, I was going to ask you about the Sunman line that they've that Mattel has interjected into the Motu Origins. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think it's great because, I mean, how many times, like, okay, like, so classics were awesome, right? Like, classics were awesome. And 2000X was awesome. And the Ultimates, those were, like, all these lines were really cool, okay? But how many Trap Jaws do we need, right? Right? Like, how many, you're always going to have He-Man, Skeletor, Beastman, Trap Jaw, Stratos, you know, Teela, Evelyn. Like, okay, it's cool, right? It's cool that you have them, but it's neat seeing something that could belong to the line as well and slide it right in. And I mean, the Sunman thing is really cool, I think. And I don't know. I know, like, about Sunman and his origin and why he was created and all that.
I'd never heard of him. I don't know nothing about the guy, and it wasn't even a Mattel line, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like, some of the weirdo characters they're going to come out with in these new waves is really, like, I don't know them. I can't even tell you their names, but it's like, oh, that's cool. It's something new. It's like the, I think the next wave is going to have, that's the start of the Sunman wave, I believe.
Well, there's only like five characters, I think, at most for the Sunman line. They're right. And so it's just a nice interlude, right? And I agree with you. It's a nice something different. And the thing is that I don't know, Jason, if they're going to go past this year, though.
Right, yeah. I don't see this He-Man stuff selling.
It's disheartening in a way, but you always want to have a finality to something as a collector.
Yeah. It is cool, like, it's kind of neat. I often talk to you about, like, starting a Dark Knight collection, right? Like the Kenner Dark Knight collection. And the thing that would be nice about that is there's this many figures. There's no variants. It's this. I know how much they are. I know how much I'm going to pay. Yeah. And once I'm done, I'm done, you know? But you know what? Chasing stuff is kind of cool, too. You know what I mean? Like, the chase is cool. The hunt.
Well, and also
cool.
The surprise is cool. Like, if you go to a toy show and they've got old toys there, you're like, I didn't expect to see this here. This is great. What other ones do you have? Okay, take $500 out of my bank account, and you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think that I can't remember. I think the next wave is the Sunman wave, but it also has the anti-Eternia He-Man in it, right? Which is also I don't believe there's ever been a figure made of that because he's relatively new. He was from that DC
Masters
of the
Classics
crossover.
That figure. Mattel made him, yeah. He was a much later release after you were long gone out of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what did I last
he made it
in
to
that
the
line
first
about a year
act,
or so,
I
right?
Think.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, then it was like, oh, we're releasing – you know, it was one of those things where, hey, we're going to release a figure every month. Oh, that's cool. I'll join that. And then it was like, hey, we're going to give you two figures a month. Okay. Okay, now we're going to give you two figures plus a beast every month. Oh, and quarterly there's going to be a special edition figure too.
And they were ship gouging. They were ship gouging people.
And yes. And then the prices kept going up like crazy. And that's why I only lasted that long. I think 1 month I was like, boy. The shipping on these is almost as much as the toys themselves.
There was a guy
doing?
On YouTube, and I've talked about him before, JC. You remember this guy, the Canadian guy, and he's like, $183 for toys. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, for me, I live in Washington State, and the toy ship from California, okay, I should not be paying any more than probably $12 to ship these things. Okay, if it's like two figures, that's it. But I was getting charged a lot more than that. And it's not, and usually it's the size of the box is what gets you, not the weight. It's in there, but a lot of it is the size of the box. I'm like, listen, if I'm only getting two figures side by side in a box, that's not very big. Okay. And there was a lot of shady stuff going on. And you remember, Jason, come over to visit. I'd fly over to New York and visit you. And I'd be in your kitchen on the phone with freaking Digital River saying, where's my stuff? Where did it go? And they would just, I'm sorry, sir. You know, there's no, I paid for these items. Then I want a freaking refund. You know, I'm so glad that is over with. That was stressful, man, because some of the stuff was expensive. And then as a collector, you can't collect the stuff because it's like you got to go through, you got to pay double shipping because then it goes back to Mattel. Then then you call them and it gets sent back through the mail again because they recharge you because it got sent back before. Oh, it's terrible. And
yeah, now that stuff came out of
California, and that's the thing. Right? It came out of California, and so two states or like one? There's one state between me and where it's shipped from. It's not that complicated. And what I was getting paid, I think they were doing a flat rate shipping, and I got the shaft on that deal. And I could tell you that's what it is because when Super 7, you know, and I'm not trying to ding Super 7 here, but someone like me, I should not have had to pay a flat rate shipping when I live. Super 7 is out of California. I should not have to pay a flat rate shipping when I live just up the street. It's ridiculous. But anyway, that's the way it is. When you buy these toys, that's part of the gig. And I understand the reasons for doing it, but I just, I've been going through BBTS for my stuff. So, because I...
And I mean, their flat rate $4 is okay.
Right, and it's $4. You know, it's funny because those two Savage He-Man figures I told you about, I don't know why, I have them on there too, and I got to cancel them now. Or I just send these ones back and get a refund, but get my $94 back from Entertainment Earth. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. I try to be patient, I guess, with things, but sometimes it's like Big Bad.
Well, I've been burned. I've been burned too many times by waiting for stuff because then I miss out. Like, you know.
Yeah. So, like, I like to. You're gonna find it typically in store before you find it anywhere else. I've found
for you, you have got a higher population base where you are. I'm out here in the land that time forgot. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, it's I'm out here in the freaking.
I thought you lived in Tri-Cities. Isn't Tri-Cities three big cities put together?
Barely cities put together, but collectively the population base is here. But I'm saying as far as retail is concerned, is we've got three Walmarts, but it's a logistics thing. For some reason, there has been a shift in getting new product on shelves here. Because remember back in the mid-2000s, when the WWE... like classics or whatever you want to call them. The retail Mattel line, which had like Rick Martel and Bam Bam Bigelow. It was those figures, the WWE, they call them elites now. Okay. But it was the WWE Legends line. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to call it that. I don't remember what they used to call it, but what happened was I'm like, oh, you've got Rick Martel here. You've got Macho Man. And it, like the Purple Trunks Macho Man with the stars. Right. And I could never find those here. You know, and it was like they'd always be gone. And it's a demographic thing in this local area because luchador wrestling is very popular here. In fact, there's a luchador, a dedicated building to luchador and independent wrestling up in Spokane, right? And it's very, very, very popular here. Anything to do with wrestling sells like hotcakes, right? Now, where you're at, mm-hmm. it's a little bit different. The demographic is different. And so things might sit on the shelf a little bit longer. Right, but here the wrestling stuff as soon as a new wave is out, and I don't care if they've got 7 or 8 cases of a new wave, gone. It is gone. And no one...
Well, I have to say that the wrestling stuff here is pretty popular,
I think it's
too.
Feverishly popular here, just because even if they're... the only thing that doesn't really sell are the basics. And I'll tell you what, Jason, I remember I was in Target once, and I saw a lady, she looked like she was like 75 years old. She was a scalper. She was going in there and picking up, she was flipping the boxes, looking at them and everything, and she was filling her carts up. She got two Ric Flair Ultimates, and then she got a Rock and like the last Steve Austin they had, right? And I was like, I'm like gritting my teeth because I'm just a regular guy. And she went and just cleaned the whole thing out. And then she found like a rare basic that for some reason people like those. Like, oh, this is a rare one because it's got... She knew exactly what she was doing. I was totally floored. I was like, oh my gosh, these people, they're all walks of life. It's crazy. Yeah. So I've seen it firsthand, you know, not just the aftermath. I saw it in process. It's crazy.
I saw a guy, I think it was before Christmas time, and he had, I almost want to say he had 2 shopping carts, and he was probably about our age, and he had his phone out, and he was scanning barcodes, and his cart was packed with 2s, 3s, 4s of just about everything in the action figure aisle that you could think of, like Ninja Turtle vans, and like all the new, like the little kids He-Man show that came out on Netflix. Just all of that stuff. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, and that's what he was doing, is he was scanning and I guess checking prices, probably. I don't know if it's on eBay or there's probably apps where you can check to see how much toys are going for.
It's freaking Ferengi garbage. And I'm like, how can you really, how much do you think someone like that is actually making as far as an income? Because if you're able to go all hours of the morning every day, maybe you've got a night shift or something, I don't know, but I think you'd be dead tired. How much money do you think that these guys, the people that do scalping, how much money do you really think they pull in? Do you think they live a comfortable life? Do you think they like they live an okay, like they live with their parents, or they have someone they take care of and they live under their roof? I mean, what do you think?
I think you have to hustle with it. I really do. I think you got to hustle. I mean, me and Jody were talking about it too. So when we went and we saw those 2 displays, the Batman displays there, they had Platinum Edition General Zods. They had extra statues there too. And, you know, the Zod figures were $50, $60 online.
Yeah.
Right? And
that's
a $20 figure. So you could buy, like, we could have bought all these figures and statues, right? Probably $10 to ship it, right? So you got $30 invested in it to make what, $20? $30? It right? I mean, is that worth it? And then even the statues, like the red and black ones, I don't think they were going for as much as the gold ones, but let's just say they're $100. So you got $40 invested into the statue when you buy it at the store. And then probably if you can get it into a priority box, that's another $16. So now you're looking at, you know, $56 with tax, $60 to make $40, right? Which I'm not scoffing and saying, oh, I don't need $40, but your time and go into the post office. Now, maybe you've got a stamps.com account. I don't know. You can print labels at home. Maybe. I don't know. Everybody's situation is different. But it seems like some of this stuff is a big effort. Now, on the other hand, if you're a guy who bought a bunch of this stuff at retail and you're like, I kind of want to get out of this line and I want to sell this stuff to get money for what I actually want. I've done the same thing. I've traded comics for comics at a comic shop that I wanted. I'd rather take this stuff of value and put it towards these comics that I want more. That's cool. I think that's great that people can do that. It just seems like you would really have to hustle. And it seems like you're making little bits, right?
Yeah.
For these modern figures, like $10 here, $15, $20, $30 here. And I guess that would probably add up, but when you factor in your time to do it, now if you have something you're sitting on, like say you wanted to sell your Masters of the Universe classics, some of those figures are just stupid money now. It was a $20-$25 investment. 10, what was that, 10 years ago?
2008.
When classics started coming out?
It's been 14 about years. Then?
Oh my God, geez. Holy cow. So, but some of those figures, I mean, are, what's a Scareglow now? $200? $300? Somewhere in there?
Yeah.
I mean, for a, maybe that's too high. I don't know.
No, but you're
know
about right. You're about right. They're about $300-$400,
Yeah, and even the commons are $100. Well, now you've taken a $25 investment, and you decide, well, geez, I kind of would like to sell these to buy this line or buy this comic or whatever it is. That seems worth it to me. It'd be no different than having comics that were you bought off the rack for a buck and a quarter, and now it's a $50 book. Well, that seems worth like. That seems worth the effort to me.
I mean, but the, I never expected classics. To be
or if, much. Or even if you, even if the stuff, even if you, you take a loss on something because you've fallen out of love with the line, or you don't want this run of comics, and you paid $3 a piece for 50 comics. All right, so you spent $150 on these books, and you read them, and you liked them when they came out, but you're like, you know, if I sold these for $1 a book. And you know, got $50 back on these that I could use towards something else I wanted. That's cool too, because like not everything's worth a ton of money, but if you're willing to split it up and sell it in lots and things like that, so that you can use the money to buy other things, I think that's pretty smart too. What good is it doing you sitting in a tote or a short box or a long box or you know? If you're done with it and you're never going to read it again, or you're never going to take it out of the tote and display it again.
Yeah.
You might
I use
well
my stuff
it, right?
For birthday parties. Well, like I, like for example, I just rotated out Star Wars stuff that I bought in 2005 and now all the new Motu Origins are on the wall.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody's taste change over time. Right. I mean, there's things that we collected like when we were younger that like, I don't really care about. Like I have a lot of the Star Wars figures from the prequels. And, like, I don't buy Star Wars figures anymore. They were cool at the time, but not anything I'd chase now. If I took the effort to get rid of them and sell them and stuff, then, you know, that'd be fine. And then there's things that you never thought maybe you'd want. I never thought I'd be into Silver Age comic books. I was more focused on the newer stuff, and now guess what? I really like Silver and Bronze Age
stuff. Batman. It's a lot of fun.
I enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, some of the stories and stuff are crazy and stupid, and but it's nice like having some of those books. And like, oh, by the way, they do have a value, and it's not anything that I'm going to sell, but someday my kids could sell them for me, you know what I mean, when they get them. So it's cool to have, because hey, it's neat, I really like it, and oh, bonus, it's worth something too. So
I'm like that.
I think this applies to everything, toys or cards or comics or whatever it is. If you just collect what you really like, chances are you're going to have some hits on your hands at some point. You know what I mean? Stuff that will be worth money. I think I see people that are just chasing covers and chasing variants and chasing, oh, this is the first appearance of this guy. He might be in a Marvel movie, and this first appearance of this guy and the hot book. And you can look at any of these hot 10 lists for comic books. Every week they come out, do whatever website it is. Hey, here's the books that were the hot books this week. And then you'll look at those the same list a year later, and almost nothing on the list is ever worth any money. If you're chasing, if you bought it off the rack for $3 and it became $50, that's wow, that's cool, good for you. You subscribed to it, you got it in your pull list, that's awesome. But if you bought that book for $50 and now it's worth 20 because it was like the hot book or whatever for a period of time, or what if it went back down to cover price? That's kind of, you can't, I don't think you can do that. I think you gotta know when to buy things and have a little bit of, it's weird because you gotta have patience, but you also know, you need to know when you need to pull the trigger on something too. It's
never going to be something you're ever going to master. It just depends on what it is and what the time period is.
Yeah. And I mean, there's things where I've gotten really lucky where, like, no, I'm buying that now. I'm going to make my move and buy that now. And it's really paid off for me, and it saved me a lot in the long run. And there's other things where I'm like, yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm going to wait. And then I end up paying more for it or price myself out of what I was going to get. It's like, geez, why didn't I get that? But I would like to think that I have more wins by using my instinct to buy something at the time or waiting on it. I like to pay fair market value for stuff or less. I don't like, I really don't like paying scalper.
I don't know, Jason. You know, I thought about selling my classics and buying a totally stock 83 or 84 Trans Am that's in mint condition.
I mean, you could with the quantity of classics that you have, you could fund something like that. Like that's what's cool, right? I mean, you've got something that you bought at retail price and you liked it. And that's why you bought it. And then, well, maybe I want this instead. I've had this for a while. And, hey, it's worth money now. I've moved on. I could sell it to somebody else who is willing to pay that price because that's the fair market value now. They are going to enjoy it. And I'm going to get money that I can use for something else to enjoy more than, you know, these classics that – they might be on display or they might be toted up or whatever. Cause you can only display so much.
And the thing is like, it goes down back to what you said, is it going to be a tote in a closet or what? And I thought about going and getting those appraised and by someone who deals in toys, not some guy who's from the antique road show, you know, how much Bird in the Hand is worth two in the bush, whatever that commercial was. So stupid. How much would you say a bird in the hand is worth? I'd say two in the bush. But yeah, was there anything that you wanted to cover tonight that we didn't touch on?
Oh, no, I just thought we'd generally talk about toys. You know, we've always talked about in the past staying focused on right. You can't get everything, right? Like you can't. So I've always tried to really focus in on having goals of what I want and concentrating on getting those things taken care of and then moving on to the next thing. That's not to say if something came up and I go, oh man, that's a really good deal, I need to buy that now, even though it's not high on the priority list, but I know that later on it will cost me more if I don't pull the trigger now. So, and I mean, going into this year, the McFarlane thing is like pretty fluid and they're always releasing new figures. So I just try to stay up on those. But as far as comics go, I really am trying to just finish certain runs off. You know, I need three issues of X-Men to get from 94 to, I think it's whenever the Age of Apocalypse starts. Right. And once I have that completed for X-Men, I'm done. Right. I'm not getting any more X-Men books. I have some other like minor runs to get, like finishing off, you know, my Jonah Hex run or my DC Comics Presents run. And I really only have I'd say five books that are considered, I'd say real high value books that I want, like really expensive books. And I obviously it'd be great to get them all this year, but that's not like super realistic. But once I acquire those big books, that's kind of it for big books for me for right now.
Well, heck, you got giant size X-Men, you should be
But
set, you know.
well, I mean, that's now here's an example what we were just talking about of, hey, buy something and it works out good because you'll pay more later. And in that same day, not buying something and you're going to pay
Right,
more for
right.
it later. So when I bought the giant size X-Men, I bought it and it was just before it went crazy. Okay. Before that book went crazy. So I bought it for a great price, right? That same day, there was a X-Men 94 there, which is the first new team in the actual X-Men comic, right? And I think the grade was pretty low. It was a graded book. It was 3.5. And I want to say it was $225 or $200, right? And I go, da, I'm not gonna get that because I want a higher grade. I want at least a five or a six. The 3.5 was fine. It was fine, but I wanted a higher grade. I will get that later. I'm not too worried about it. Well, what happened was Giant Size X-Men blew up, right? Got super expensive. People got priced out of Giant Size X-Men. What's the next best thing? X-Men 94. X-Men 94 prices just jumped like crazy too. So the same day I bought a book that I'm very lucky that I bought it that day because I would pay much more later for it. And I also passed on a book that I should have bought that day, and I'm going to pay much more for it when I
It's a moving
eventually acquire
target.
that book.
It
So
really is.
yeah. And I mean it's who could have predicted that wouldn't you think when all of everything that happened with the world started that it would cause all this crap that we buy that really doesn't in the grand scheme of things mean
Right.
anything at all? Wouldn't like none of
No.
it really matters, right? And like we're very fortunate. None of this junk matters, right? It's just stuff that we don't really need, but it's cool to have because 80s kids, that's it, that's what it is. We had it fed into our brain, like between commercials and cartoons and all this, like we just want stuff, right? Crap that we don't really need. But who would have thought all this stuff would have actually gone up in value and instead of the opposite gone down in value, which is what I really would have thought happened. Like, oh well, things are going to be tough. People are going to not have disposable income to buy this and that and whatever. And boy, that is like a
Yeah,
complete
exactly.
180 of what
Yeah.
happened. Like it was crazy. I mean, people were home and they had nothing to do, and they're like, oh, I guess I'll clean out the garage, right? And they go out to the garage and they've been meaning to do it for a while, and they go, "What is this? This is crap from when I was a kid." And they come across a tote of G.I. Joes. Boy, I remember how much fun I had with these Joes. These were great. Boy, this one's broke and this one's broke. I'm gonna get on eBay there and just see if I can maybe replace the ones that I want. And so people start buying those, or they find their baseball cards or the football cards or the comics from when they were kids. Oh boy, I really enjoyed those. These are kind of beat. Maybe I'll see how much one of these is and replace this. And it was like a thing. It seemed like everybody kind of rediscovered stuff that they enjoyed from when they were younger. And it led to a boom in toys, like vintage toys, comic books, cards, everything that was collectible, like really took off. And it's softened up a bit, right? But here's the thing, it's just like the stock market. Stock market kept hitting record highs, record highs, record highs, record highs every day. Every day it seemed like it was a record high, right? So your money was at one level and you kept hitting a record high. So even if it softens up a bit, you still got more than you had before, which is the same with these comics. They hit their peak last summer where, like, prices were just crazy. And they've come down a little bit. But guess what? It's worth more than it was before because the peak was so high. Oh, you know what I mean?
And it's, it, you know, there's ebb and flow there. But I think what spawned from this is now the retailers have responded in kind. And, you know, I will just say that I think some of the retailers are guilty of price gouging their own stuff that's brand new off the shelf. And McFarlane is definitely not one of those people. I'm sorry, but NECA, you got to knock it off. Because now, what's going on, especially with their TMNT line, those are actually, they're not the only, some of their other NECA lines are stacking up on the pegs at the back wall at Target. Okay. I'm a fan of Karate Kid. I like Karate Kid. I wanted a Mr. Miyagi, and I wanted Johnny, and I wanted some other ones. I'm not going to pay, I think they want some exorbitant price. Like, it was like $40 or $50 a piece. $60, I think maybe?
I think 60 you said bucks it was $60 or $70.
Yeah, I called you on the phone and said, I can't believe this, Jason. Yeah. $60, okay? And even the packaging that they come in, like the corrugated box or whatever, it's that cheap cardboard where you can see the corrugated paper thin recycled cardboard. And I'm like, I don't know. Those things aren't selling too hot, you know, but they're slowly selling. But it's just kind of getting ridiculous.
Well, packaging for years has been on the decline. If you look at an Elite, a WWE Elite from 3, 4, 5 years ago to the packaging now, the quality of it is just so much cheaper. And I mean, I think Elites have gone up in price too. Elites used to be $15.88. I want to say they're $22 or $21.
I think Target charges like that at Walmart. $21.99 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, part of that is, like, without getting into too deep into this type of stuff, container prices, like getting them shipped out from overseas. I think container prices were, I've told you the numbers before, like staggering amounts. They, like, container companies made more money in profit in the first 9 months of 2021 than they made in profit the previous 10 years. That's how much container pricing went up. Obviously, Mattel, Hasbro, whoever is paying for those containers, that's a business expense for them. They pass it on to the retailers, and the retailers are like, well, geez, you used to tell me it was $16 for your figure. Now you're telling me it's $18 for your figure. I'm not eating that cost. I'm passing it on to the customer. And that's where we're seeing Hasbro just had a huge price increase. I want to say their Marvel Legends, which were $19.99, are $22, $23, $24 a piece now.
They're like the new Beanie Baby or the new Pop now, and they're so expensive. And I'm like, the quality is not good on the plastic for the 6-inch line. I had a Star Lord where the leg snapped off because the joint was not functional, and it was the Ego Star Lord 2-pack that got on clearance. Thank God I got on clearance and I didn't pay full price. The thing is, I quit buying those because they're going to keep making more. I saw this guy on YouTube, but he was doing reviews of these. He's like, I have way too many of these Marvel Legends. They got to go. I got to get rid of them. I'm thinking, I don't want to be like you, buddy. And like, the thing is, there's better stuff coming out from other companies. Like, I was talking about these Iron Man figures. And, you know, they're Chinese, they're directly from a Chinese company, and they got licensed by Disney. But I'm like, these are much nicer than the Legend stuff that's coming out. And the thing is, I like Marvel Legends. I particularly like the comic book, the more comic looking ones, not really the actors' licenses. Like MODOK. And MODOK is awesome, right? He didn't sell that well. But I really like the obscure characters, so I guess where I'm going with this is that I'm stopping because they just, if you hang on, you get them on clearance, that's fine, but I won't pay full price for them.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the Marvel Legend, the reason I waited a year until the McFarlane line was out, right? It was out for a year, and I'd see him in the stores, and I said, oh, geez. Oh, I kind of like those. Oh, I kind of like those. Because I don't have any Marvel Legends, but I'd always look at them in the store, and there were so many. There was no way to get caught up, right? It's almost impossible. You spend an arm and a leg, tons of time. You could never get caught up. But this McFarlane thing, well, geez, I like DC. Batman's
I
my
cherry
guy,
pick them. I
right?
like the
Like,
Superman stuff. I have some
okay.
Batman, but you strictly now. I was going to ask you this before we sign off here. Are you going for every single McFarlane, or are you just cherry picking some that are non-Batman?
No, I have everyone except for three early Chase figures, which I will have to pay for down the line. They were from the first two or three waves. They're those gold ones, like the bronze Joker we have. It's like a bronze Batman, a gold Batman, and a gold Deathstroke, right? They're expensive, right? I'll get them eventually. But I'm current with everything that's been released so far. Except I think there's a Gorilla Grodd chase I need to get. Again, that's like, $40 or something. I could pick my phone up and buy it now, right now, right? You know what I mean? But no, I have pretty much all of them. So, and again, I like them and it's fun, and I haven't overpaid for any of them. I usually get deals on them. I do pre-order some stuff, but the pre-order is almost a backup because you're always going to find it in store before you get your pre-order. So if I find it in store, cool. I just cancel my pre-order. If I don't find it in the store, well, I got the pre-order as a backup. And I've had pretty good luck with pre-orders, not having them canceled. The only pre-order I had canceled was that year two Batman, and I just kept checking the Target app because it was a Target exclusive, and it popped up, and I just reordered it again, and I got it eventually. And then, of course, there was the signed one that sold out immediately. And again, being part of some of these figure groups, you had the heads up that, hey, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, they're releasing like 2,000 more of the. No, it wasn't even that many. How
Yeah, it
many was
wasn't
it? Like
much. It wasn't much
1,300 or
because,
700?
yeah.
It wasn't much. And that's when, I told you and I told your wife and I told my oldest daughter, hey, at 9 o'clock Pacific time, everybody get on the Target website and everybody try to order. Oh, and my wife too. So we had five cases, right? We had five cases on the Target app at 9 o'clock. And how many cases got it? Your wife, my daughter, and me all got one, and you and my wife got shut out. So out of the five cases, three out of five of us got the signed Todd McFarlane
Oh,
Batman year
yeah.
two. And that was cool, right? It was fun. It was something cool for all of us to do. And the text messages are going back and forth. Did you get one? I got one. Did you get one? No, I got one. And it's so crazy that they were gone
Oh,
within what,
yeah.
2 seconds, right? Wasn't it like it was almost immediate. And it was so funny that three of us out of the five of us, we all got on at the same time. Three of us got them and two of us didn't. Like what was it that like how do they determine who gets what? You know what I mean? Within milliseconds of each other.
It
it was
was,
kind of
but I
fun,
knew I
wasn't
wouldn't
it?
have a chance. I'm like an old man trying to use a VCR, so when it comes to phones and buying stuff, and I'm not slow, I'm not fast at all on that stuff, and so.
And usually I'm very bad at that. So when I added it to my cart and I clicked and the little circle spun and it said your order's confirmed, I couldn't believe it. And then I immediately get a text message from Kelsey and she says, got one. Oh my God, we each got one. Well, this is great in case like some shenanigans where oh, sorry, we oversold when one's canceled. Well, one of us will get it. And then I get a message from my wife that says, oh, I missed it. Well, don't worry, we got it. And then you said, oh, I didn't get one. And then, oh, Crystal got one. Oh, cool. So three out of five of us. So I got a pretty decent chance of getting one of these. And the three of us all ended up getting our figures. You know, you got one that you kept for yourself. That if I hadn't got one, you would have mailed to me. That was cool. And I kept both of mine
absolutely.
Because the one my daughter ordered came in less than a week. The one I ordered took over 2 weeks to come. And then the card, or not the card, the bubble, like the plastic on the top of the box, had a crack in it. I was like, well, someday I'll open this one too. So I'll have a box one. But I mean, you go to a comic show and I don't know what Todd McFarlane charges for a signature, but it's probably $30 to $50 to sign something, because that's kind of the going rate now. So it's cool having signed stuff by him, and there's a limited quantity of it, and it's just something neat to have. And again, you could sell them online, it'd be worth money or whatever, but that's not why I buy them. I buy them because I enjoy them.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's a labor of love for sure. And
exactly. Yeah, buy what you like, right?
For me, when I was younger, I collected more, but now there's just so much of it, it's burned my enthusiasm.
It's really hard. There is so much.
Yeah, I like, you know me, I'm a music guy. I'm a musician, so I tend to lean more towards, like, I want a really nice, if I want to drop $3,600 on a guitar, that's going to last me the rest of my life. And I've got kit that I'm building, you know? And so that's where my focus is now.
And that's what I told you. I'm like, focus on what you really want to get. Like, really focus on you don't need to make a list, but I like to make lists because they help me, and they show me, you know, what my goals are, and
that's what I've always told people. And you probably heard it on the show before. I said, Jason, he stuck to his guns. He had a checklist, and he pursued it. And now he has something to show for his work and his persistence.
Well, and I should say, I prioritize things. I'm going to get what I'm missing that has been released for a while and I haven't found, rather than, like, that Batman display that we talked about a couple times tonight. There's like four or five figures I need out of that display. There's seven of each in each display in two Walmarts in Watertown. They just got released. I'm not hot to trot on getting them right now. I'll pick them up at my leisure. But there were things in that display that I knew would be hard to find, and I grabbed those first.
Yeah, and, you know, so that's a really good way to park this. Hour and a half. It's pretty good. And I think that... No, not bad.
Not too bad.
Hey,
if
you guys
are
into this stuff, I think a lot more people are nowadays, at least now, as opposed to maybe like 2013, are going to want to listen to discussion like this if it lasts over an hour, because it's more bang for your buck, I guess.
Well, and I think action figures in general, it used to be... I don't want to call it like a badge of shame, right? Like, it shouldn't be a badge of shame. It shouldn't be embarrassing. But comics and toys and
if it doesn't overtake your house, you're fine.
You kind of hit it. Like, I know you probably never saw the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin, but the big joke in that was Steve Carell was an action figure collector.
Oh.
And like,
I've had people ask me,
guy, right?
Did you ever watch 40-Year-Old Virgin? Do you ever watch 40-Year-Old Virgin? No, and I don't care, and I do what I want because I want to. I don't care what you think. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, so what was the first Iron Man? 2005, right? Okay, so 08. That's right.
It was the whole first 10 years or whatever. Yeah.
And now look. The biggest movie franchise in the world is Marvel stuff. Yeah. Everybody watches them, right?
Yeah, I'm not getting made fun of anymore. I've got a whole wall of Hasbro Iron Man on cards.
Yeah, you go. Yeah.
And no one's giving me crap. I got two Infinity Gauntlets in my freaking studio here. No one gives me any crap.
And you can go out to a store at any point in time and see somebody wearing, you know, a Star Wars shirt or a Marvel shirt or whatever type of, you know, nerd culture stuff is out there. Video games, like that type of stuff. People understand that. That's what people like now, and it's a lot cooler because it's more out in the open. There's more people to talk about it. Like now, people understand why I think a little bit better. Why people buy these type of things and why they enjoy them. It never used to be like, oh, comics, aren't those for kids? Well, actually, you know, if you read this graphic novel, you'd see that this clearly is not for kids. And, oh, those are worth money? Yeah, some of them are, actually.
But it's also shallowness at the same time because the general public, you know, it's both of those.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's changed a lot in the last 10 to 15 years for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, I hope that you enjoyed this dialogue. I know I certainly have. And anytime, Jason, I have you on the show, there's always lots to talk about. And I think that right now, like you've kind of hinted, it's an interesting time to be a collector, and there's just so much stuff out there. You have to pick something and stick, have a swim lane. And maybe one day I'll learn how to do that. So just before we go, I'll just mention a couple podcasts out there. We got Fireside Chat Podcast, Ryan McCormick. Go check him out. He's on all three of these. I'm going to name are all on the typical platforms, Spotify, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that. We got McSauce Podcast, Ian Paul, Matt. Check them out. We also have the Hope This Finds You Well Podcast. Go ahead and give them a whirl. They're all active on the same platforms. We're all friends on there, so if you're going to find them, you'll find me as a follow or vice versa. So check them out. I encourage you to check out my Instagram page. I've got a lot of action figure photos on there, some really creative ones, kind of a variety, so it's not just stuck in one property. Case in point on Instagram, go check it out. And Jason, thanks again for being on the show, and it's great to have you as a guest on here, and you're always welcome here. And it's just been great to be able to have literally a brother in arms in the action figure hunt and retail and online. So, man, it's a lot of fun, man. Thanks.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. Just, I mean, I shouldn't say it takes a lot of time, but probably if you added all these little 5 minutes and 10 minutes here and there, it probably is a lot of time. But yeah, it is a lot of fun. I like doing it, and I like talking about it with you. So,
yeah, and we'll have more to share on that because for Jason and I, it's a daily thing. So, thanks a lot, guys, and we'll catch you next time.